Today on Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely.
Well, I'm supposed to be the king. Maybe God wants me to take him out right now. Everybody would agree with me, but he understood it wasn't about vengeance. That would have been his motive. We can never be about vengeance, evening the score. We serve God. Scripture says it's a gentle answer that turns away wrath. And the idea is that we should use the gentle answer. We need to stop worrying about trying to get even with people and recognize there's a justice system.
Deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper, I want to know you more.
In this life, we'll all experience hurt and disappointment. That's because we're all made of flesh. We all fail. But that doesn't give us an excuse to initiate judgment or to retaliate. You see, as believers, we're to leave that up to God. Instead, we're to live our lives with a heart of forgiveness that desires restoration. Now, make sure and stay with us after Pastor Troy's message. I want to share our contact information with you, as well as how you can receive a free copy of this broadcast. Now, open your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 38. As we join Pastor Troy for part one of our message entitled, Consider Your Rights.
Thank God that we have the Word of God, because it helps us to stay focused. When there are troubles and the world seems to be falling apart, the Word of God never is. In fact, it tells us that was what we could expect. It prepares us. It helps us to see problems differently. If you really study your Bible, it helps you to see people differently. Instead of looking down on them and getting angry with them and dissing them, we begin to see them a little differently. Jesus was an example of that. He saw people differently. Those he was most harshest on were the religious leaders, those who played the religious game. And he was harsh on them. But I just sense that even in his harshness, it wasn't a hatred or a bitter anger towards them. It was a loving anger, like, don't you see? This is not what my house is for. You brood of vipers. Who warned you to flee, John the Baptist said, from the wrath to come? The heart of God's people should never be for the destruction of others or for the tearing down of others, but for the building up of others. Jesus continues now to deal with the heart of those who are listening to him, those who will be his disciples. Say, I'm going to follow you, Lord. Well, here's the heart. Here's what you can expect. It says that he brought his disciples to him and said, he started talking these things to them. He's going to say some things today that would probably cause his listeners to say, what did he say? What did he just say? He couldn't have meant that. Because these are some difficult things. Today's words are hard to hear for people living in an age that emphasizes personal rights. Justice. We see it on all the billboards. You want justice? You deserve justice? We demand it. We're going to get it for you. Justice. That's right. I need justice. So we pay all our money to lawyers to get us justice. And what we don't realize is justice isn't being served. They're getting all our money fighting our battles. So if you're a lawyer, thank you. We need you. We actually do need you, because no one knows how to fight fairly. But we shouldn't have to have them. We're in a fallen world. That's why we have that liaison. And that's why Jesus came to be our defendant. So, we're in a world where people are so consumed with my rights, what I'm entitled to, my space, my face. It's all about me. What Jesus is asking his followers to do is to stop seeking your own good. In fact, not only that, but stop seeking what's fair. And stop seeking justice for yourself. These are his words today. Instead, what do we do? If I stop doing those things, because that keeps me pretty busy, what do I do? He says, stop doing that and start caring for others. Start considering others. Think about others. Why? Because God's goal is that we proclaim, that we become those lights for His glory. And instead of seeking those my rights, there's one right, it seems, that is important that God wants us to establish here on earth. And that is the right to be His witness. Because we're very self-centered. And because of that, we don't make very good witnesses. The right is the right to be able to speak into someone's life. That is a right that God just doesn't bestow upon you. You're saved. You have the truth, but you don't have that right to speak into people's lives. It's very often a right that is earned, and some will use Billy Graham. What about Billy Graham? He's an evangelist. He doesn't have a church. He just goes place to place to place. Well, let me tell you the reason. Billy Graham didn't start out with stadiums filled with people. He became known as a man who was above reproach, who spoke the truth, who was simple in his teaching and his presentation. He earned the right, and people would trust him to this day. Atheists will call him a good man. Now, that was a man. If that's the Jesus, then there may be something to that, but I look at the rest of the world, and the rest of the world hasn't earned that right to proclaim him, at least not to that individual. See, God wants us to live the way He asks us to live so that we have the right. We have the truth and we have all authority. But to have the right to speak into someone's life, that's very often earned. If you're inconsistent, we can't have you counseling people here because no one knows that about you. If you're not a giver, how can we ask you to oversee a ministry that involves finances? Or how can we have you counsel others financially? Do you see? God's trying to line us up so that we, one, are able to minister to everybody, as many people as we possibly can. But He's also focusing us so that we're able to minister in the ministry opportunities that He wants us to minister in. You have a circle of friends. You can't get caught up in the gossip. You can't get caught up in the yelling back and forth. You can't, when somebody throws a blow, we're going to talk about that here in a moment, you can't strike back. We have higher stakes. And it's earning that right to minister. And that's what God's calling us to do. God's goal isn't to make things fair on earth. His goal isn't to bring justice right here and right now. That just doesn't happen. I've seen too many martyrs go out. They're Christians. They're not called martyrs when they start. They're going to go, you know what? I'm a martyr. I'm going to go out and just get killed for Christ. They go out as a missionary, or they go out as a Christian who wants to bring the gospel to a people who haven't heard it, and they become a martyr. That's unjust. That's not fair. So God's goal isn't fairness. Because we're in a fallen world. His goal is to cause you to become a light, to stand out, to be different. That's what His mission was. His purpose for the law for Israel was to set them apart. I want you to be different than all of the other nations. Not calling you better than them. He said, you're not better than them. You are the least among the nations, but I chose you. You were weak. So I lifted you up and I want to set you apart. That's why I want you to be different, not because it's going to be fair. So God's goal isn't to make things fair or to ensure you have your rights here. He's come into a fallen world to seek and to save that which is lost, and He wants to use you if you're one of His followers. He calls upon us to be different. How different? Well, we're going to get into that right now as we look at verse 38. He says, you have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you not to resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. The first thing Jesus addresses is personal rights. Your personal rights. My stuff. My right to privacy. My right to have what I want. He says, well, let's look at that. Starts, he mentions something called the lex talionis. Eye for an eye, tooth for tooth. We all know that one, right? And we always seem to use it in a vengeful kind of way. Okay, you did that. Let's do that back to him. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth. That's what God said. We're viewing that through the wrong lens. See, men already in his sinful nature had vengeance and revenge in his heart. We didn't have to be taught to take revenge or try to get even or have justice. Somebody hit one person, no problem hitting back. Oh, I saw what you did. I can do that too. But God's purpose was, see, men have a tendency to one up. We don't do exactly, we don't make it even. It's not justice we're after. We're after vengeance. Above and beyond, you knock out one of my teeth, I'm going to knock out all of yours. And however many punches it takes, I'm going to do it. You kill this person in our family, in my group of people, we're going to kill out somebody significant. We're going to take out more. For you, that's gang violence right there. And God says, I know this stuff happens, but it's got to end somewhere. Where does it end? It's to end with the person who believes in Christ. We're not to be the ones pursuing vengeance, our rights, justice for me. We are to trust the Lord. So he mentions the lex talionis. And the purpose of the lex talionis was to limit vengeance. In other words, it really did two things. First, it limited vengeance so that the punishment would not exceed the crime. If this is the crime, then the punishment should not exceed that. So he gave those guidelines. This is God's word. He did say an eye for an eye, tooth for tooth. He said, if man takes another man's life, then by man, his life should also be taken. Not out of revenge, but a sense of justice. God was for capital punishment. So he says, limit the vengeance, but it also was a deterrent to crime. Because you can't do absolutely nothing. And so he did say, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. If man kills a man, then he should be killed also by man. So he didn't say, just leave him to me and I'll strike him dead somewhere. He said, there's going to be a justice system. And his life should be taken. If you kill somebody, you're going to lose your life as well. Capital punishment is a deterrent to crime. I don't know who thought that it wasn't or thought it was excessive. But the truth is, if you understand the consequences, one of our problems is we don't make the consequences clear. But if you understand the consequences, then if you violate, if you cross the line, you've chosen it. It's important that we understand that because many have a hard time with this concept of hell, but God has laid out His truth. And we can look today and go, well, but it's not clear and people aren't proclaiming it. And I go to churches sometimes, they don't even talk about sin or any of that. Hey, that's because we're in a fallen world. Nobody wants it to be that way, so nobody proclaims it to be that way. In the beginning, it was that way. Parents did not pass on their faith to their children. There was a rebellion that took place. And so we live in a very distant from the very beginnings society where truth isn't handled right, where truth isn't passed down, where truth isn't emphasized. In fact, truth now is downplayed. Hey, what's truth? Your truth, my truth. We all have a different truth. There is something called truth. We'll say, hey, if we go outside, you could say, I think it's cold out here. But I could go out and say, no, I think it's fine out here. See, your truth and my truth are different. See? But yeah, if you just go by this subjective feeling, but God doesn't do that. He lays it out for us. If you were to take a measurement tool, that measurement tool being a thermometer, the thermometer would say whatever the temperature is out there. Let's say 70 degrees. Now, I may think 70 is nice and warm. You may think, hey, it's kind of cool how you feel. But the truth is, despite how you feel, it's 70 degrees. That's truth. So how people feel about heaven and hell and what they think God would and wouldn't do is very insignificant. Jesus said, I came to bear witness to the truth. World's lost it. They're so distant from their beginnings. They're so distant from everything. They've lost the whole concept of what truth is. And so I've come to bear witness to the truth. Pilate represented us so well when he said, what is truth? But there is a truth. The world doesn't understand. So Jesus teaches them that justice should be limited. Vengeance should be exacted. However, he says, when someone slaps you on one cheek, turn the other cheek. Now, that's where we have a problem as Christians. Does that mean I'm just supposed to take everything? Just let people run over me? And some think that. But that's not what Jesus is saying. Jesus is not teaching total pacifism. I know some of you are going, oh, thank God. I like this church. This is what I'm talking about. Because even Jesus stood up against evil, wrong action, stood up for people. The scriptures are clear about standing up for those who can't stand up for themselves and defending the poor, taking care of the poor and the widow. So it's not a total pacifism. I mean, think about that. Somebody comes in to rob your home. They beat your wife or children. You go, well, I'm a Christian. You got me. Go ahead. Just please don't hit me right here, but you know, wherever, anywhere else. The last guy who came in and stole just hit me on that side. So please hit me over here. That's not what Jesus is saying. Jesus is teaching that we personally aren't supposed to take vengeance. We're not supposed to. If someone hits you, don't look at it as your responsibility now to make sure the score is evened for you personally. Just let it go. Because there's a justice system that will take care of that. See, it's not for us to take that vengeance. It's not for us to try to right the wrongs. We would do a poor job of trying to get even, of trying to right situations. We would do a very poor job. But God is perfect. David said, I want to be in your hands, Lord. If you're going to pour out justice, we want to put ourselves in your hands. David often said, my enemies, I want to put them in your hand. Lord, you take care of them. We need to be willing to and trust God enough to put those who we think deserve justice in his hands. Romans 12:19, Paul wrote, beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. How do you handle insults? How do you handle it when someone comes down on you unjustly, unfairly, or a little excessively? How do you handle it when someone gets something over you? They take advantage of you, and you know it. You march down there, and you say, well, I understand it. What about when somebody, oh, here's traffic. When you're in traffic, and you're following the rules, and you merge in like you're supposed to, like you should, it's the godly thing to do. You merge in right there. You don't try to outrun everybody. You get in. But then that person behind you just can't wait. And they just, yeah, you got out of my way. And they're like shooting up there. And then they cause the stoppages and everything because they're going to try to get in. And you think, man, what are they doing? They're getting ahead of me. You're just upset. It's unjust. It's not for us to take out justice. But what we like to do is our goal now in life, at least for the rest of this trip, is to catch up to them. Let them know how dissatisfied we are. So they know, no, I saw that. We're supposed to merge. That guy is crazy over there. So we want justice. It's in our hearts. We want it. We know when something's not right. We need to be careful because it's not ours to get. David was a good example. You know, David used to play music for King Saul. And there was one time Saul was getting frustrated with David and evil spirit was taunting him and he got angry at David and he started throwing spears. He was always trying to kill David. Now David, when that spear came by, he could have said, "Oh yeah? Now I got the spear," and thrown it back at him. And I'm sure David may not have missed. He's a great warrior. But he didn't do that. You know what David did? He ran from the situation. He stayed away. And opportunities came for him to get justice, revenge. And he never took it. Why? Because he knew God's in control. God is sovereign. God lifts and God brings down. And David also understood something we need to understand. Maybe God is using this to teach me something. I'm not going to touch God's anointed. So I'm going to let God do the lifting. Even though David already knew he was going to be the king, he could have reasoned within himself and said, "Well, I'm supposed to be the king. Maybe God wants me to take him out right now." Everybody would agree with me. But he understood it wasn't about vengeance. That would have been his motive. We can never be about vengeance, evening the score. We serve God. Scripture says it's a gentle answer that turns away wrath. And the idea is that we should use the gentle answer. We need to stop worrying about trying to get even with people and recognize there's a justice system. We often try to find the loopholes to exact our justice. There are none, guys. We will be taken advantage of. We will be mistreated. We will be called weak, even though you and I may know about ourselves we're not weak. But Jesus really commanded us to be meek. And we talked about meekness several weeks back, how meekness is not weak. It is power under control. It's the fact that you could explode, but instead you do what God wants you to do. You contain yourself and you do the right thing rather than exploding. You contain. One of the most difficult things to contain in the world is dynamite. And once you set it off, nothing contains it. So God's saying, don't walk around and be a piece of dynamite. Be meek. Be under control. Be focused. Because I have a purpose for your life. Your rights for justice, we've got to let go of. Your right for comfort. Verses 40 and 41 speak of that. If any wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. Whatever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. This speaks of your rights to comfort. According to Deuteronomy 24, the cloak and the tunic were basic garments that everyone had a right to cover themselves, to be warm. They didn't have heating and air conditioning. And so in the cool periods, especially, you would want your tunic. You'd want a way to keep yourself warm. Well, that's what this basic need was. You needed this. And so it was a basic right. But if you were to get yourself into debt and promise to pay someone, you might give your tunic to them as a pledge. But in Deuteronomy, God said, hey, if that happens, if you're in that situation, then I want you to make sure, as the one holding the lien, to give them their tunic back at night because they need it. And so the point is not if someone sues you, go ahead and give them more than they ask for. It's don't worry about giving up your basic needs, letting go of them.
Deeper and deeper. Deeper and deeper, I want to know you more.
In this day and age in which we live, it's easy to get distracted by everything that's going on around us. The hustle and bustle of life tends to keep us from the things that are truly important as followers of Christ. While there's simply no substitute for the personal reading of God's Word, programs like Building on the Solid Rock are a huge blessing that God uses in the discipleship of countless people. Building on the Solid Rock is the radio ministry of Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel Solid Rock in San Antonio, Texas. For more information about our ministry or to access the archive of messages, log on to our website at www.buildingonthesolidrock.com. You can subscribe to our podcast while you're there or search for us in the iTunes store under Calvary Chapel Solid Rock. It's absolutely free. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Thank you for joining us. We invite you to join us again next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through the Gospel of Matthew. That's next time on Building on the Solid Rock.
I wonder why. And I look up and see the hand that I turned from when the storm began, and it covers me.